Your team just added its 67th AI tool and also your 67th security blind spot. The good news, the Vantor agent works like a GRC engineer in the background, finding every app your team uses, scoring the risk, and drafting fixes for you. Vantor is the platform used by over 16,000 fast-moving companies like Synthesia, Nando's, and Granola, who are shaping the future with AI and staying ahead of AI risk. Get started at Vantor.com.
So what if I told you that your child isn't behind because they're not trying hard enough? What if the tears during homework, the frustration, the fights at the kitchen table, the "I hate reading" comments has absolutely nothing to do with intelligence? Because every single day, parents are watching their children struggle with reading and are asking themselves the same heartbreaking question: what am I doing wrong? Today, we're going to meet a woman who has spent more than 25 years helping children unlock the ability to read. And what she discovered may completely change the way you look at learning, dyslexia, ADHD, and what is actually happening inside a child's brain. If you've ever worried about your child's reading, attention, confidence, or future success in school, this conversation is for you. So welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about something that impacts nearly every single family at some point or another: reading. Not just reading words on a page, but confidence and self-esteem, learning, and a child's full belief in themselves. Our very special guest today is Kimberly Parra. And Kim is a gifted educator, a reading specialist, a tutor and author, and founder of Parra Education Solutions and Flashcard Reading. And she has spent decades helping children overcome reading challenges, including dyslexia and ADHD, and has developed a unique approach that helps students build confidence and improve reading skills in just minutes a day. And what's even more remarkable, Kim understands these struggles personally because she has lived with dyslexia and ADHD herself. Today, she's going to help us understand what many parents miss, why some children struggle despite working incredibly hard, and the simple things families can start doing immediately. Hey, Kim, it's so good to see you. I know you were on the show a couple of years back. I wasn't even part of the show then. So it's really good to have you back, and it's awesome to meet you. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have this conversation. Let's start with something every parent understands. So a child comes home from school, homework starts, reading begins, and within minutes, everything is frustrated. Everyone is frustrated, sorry, and I can relate to that. I remember my family being frustrated with me. What is happening in that moment that most parents often don't understand?
Well, initially when they get home, most parents are like, within 30 minutes, they say, hey, let's sit down, do the homework before we get too tired. And for kids with ADHD and dyslexia, that can seem like a prison sentence for 30 minutes, you know, because they're not equipped to keep their focus. They've been trying to sit in a chair all day, you know, and then all of a sudden the parent wants them to do this thing that is like running up a mountain, you know, without any equipment. So it can be very distressing, not only on the child, but the whole entire family.
Absolutely. What are some signs that a reading struggle is bigger than simply not paying attention?
So a lot of the things that I see when kids come to me, I usually have them write out the words, and I can see that the formation of their words, they don't have a good spelling pattern. The phonetics are just way off base. You know, instead of F, they put PH or vice versa. Or sometimes instead of S, they put Z because they sound similar to them. And so when they're trying to sound out in their head, it takes extra time. They're not understanding, you know, exactly what the word even means. So they might be, you know, hearing a word for the first time, or even spelling for the first time, and it's just way off base. It doesn't look anything like the words actually spelled.
Right. 100%. I guess the next question would be then, when do parents know it's time to stop waiting? Like that it might just be, you know, they're a little behind and they'll catch up. How do parents know when to start looking for help for their child?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because if you wait too late, then, you know, even a month or two, they can fall behind in school a whole entire quarter. So it's really important that if you notice that they're struggling, is, you know, to go ahead and get them started with something that you think might help and remedy. That's when, you know, I kind of go in there and help too. I have, you know, this website called Flashcard Read, and they can put me on instead of them having to do it. And I can flash words in front of the child. And then I can actually help them figure out and configure how to see that whole entire word, whether it be hippopotamus or the word calendar or whatever it is that they're having trouble with. I help them see the word and then put the phonetics together that they learned at school, figure out, like I said, spelling, the sounds of the letters, and then the combination all come together when you flash the word like 20 times.
Right. Okay. So in other words, it's like you should start looking for help pretty quickly.
Yes.
Especially, yeah, if they're in school and you don't want them falling too behind.
No, no. Every weekend that passes and they go back to school is just more stress on them, of them not knowing and wondering why the kids are getting it and they're not. And it just causes more of a rift. And it also, you know, stems in behavior problems and then anxiety and depression.
Right, right. Absolutely. What are some misconceptions people have about children who struggle with reading?
Some people think that children, you know, misbehave and they can't stay focused. And a lot of times they ask them to sit and, you know, focus more and they're not paying attention. But a lot of the time they can't get the words to stop swirling on the page, or the letters transpose themselves. And so an R might, you know, look like it's the opposite way. Same thing with an F or an S even. So, you know, at times just the stress alone of just not having the word stand still for them can be really upsetting.
Yeah, absolutely. And how often are these children who cannot read very well actually very, very bright?
A lot of them have extra awesome skills, like, you know, being able to fix a circuitry, you know, like a game,
right,
where you connect them up and the wires go together. A lot of them have strengths like that. Some of them are musically inclined and mathematically inclined, and they still can't read. So there's a lot of different gifts that each child brings to the table, but we don't look for those things. We try and conform them into what they need to learn in order to survive in life. And so that's where the stress sets in.
Yeah. So what does it do to a child's confidence when they start comparing themselves to other classmates?
Yeah, it's totally blown. I mean, there are posters around the school of other kids that have made, you know, top of the class and stuff like that. There is lots of different, you know, awards being given out for this, that, and the other, you know, on a monthly basis, and, you know, the grades. And it's very frustrating for someone who is not able to read on that level and understand on that level.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, behavioral stuff starts coming in, and kids start, you know, slamming books and picking on other kids, or withdrawing, you know, like lashing out because they don't know how to express themselves in that way.
Correct.
I mean, you don't just teach this stuff. You've actually lived it. And so can you tell us a little bit about your own journey growing up with dyslexia and ADHD?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, we moved around a lot. I was one of those Navy brats.
Okay.
So it was exciting and fun seeing new places, but it's also, you start a new school, you know, and you don't know how it's going to be in the new school and connecting with new teachers and such. But I had some really great teachers, but I still fell behind because of the way that I saw words. Sometimes they transposed, sometimes they swirled around the page. Whenever I got stressed out about tests, I would blank out, you know, so I did not have an easy school experience, and it stressed me out pretty much through, you know, 5 years old till I was in 12th grade. I didn't actually understand how to get the words to be easier to read until I got out of school, and sitting with my child and seeing him struggle kind of helped me to build a bridge in between, you know, what needed to be done. So before I went to college, I was teaching my own kid, you know, and build the bridges. So that's kind of what saved both of us, is, you know, learning how he learned best. And he had something called audio processing disorder. So what that means is that words would go into his ears, but the way that he heard them in his brain were totally different. So I would have to show him words, lots and lots of words, in order for him to get what I was saying. Because early on, I don't know, call it mother's intuition, but I had a feeling that he had some issues. So I started teaching him to read when he was 6 months old.
Okay.
So we already kind of communicated through flashcards anyway, and he was very nonverbal until around six. Then he started speaking a whole lot. But in between there, he's very autistic, and he doesn't mind me telling you that, by the way. But he's a really extraordinary individual. He just kept trying and, you know, to meet me to build this bridge so that we could better communicate. And through that, we taught each other how best that we both learn. And I have ADHD too. And so we quit back and forth about our communication, about, you know, what we've gone through and what we had to do in order to get there. But he almost dropped out of kindergarten twice. So the second time I sat down and I taught him for about 4 months until he got it. And then, you know, I was paying for him to go to school, but I still hadn't ended up teaching him because there was no knowing about this audio processing disorder. There wasn't rules written about it. So we kind of had to figure it out.
Yeah. And like, I know with ADHD, especially when it goes undiagnosed, the whole world is like so overstimulating, not to mention like trying to learn, right? Like you're sitting in a classroom as a child surrounded by kids who are yelling and screaming, and it's like all that noise and stuff. It just doesn't compute well. And schools aren't equipped to, you know, do those independent teachings like they should be. Things are becoming more widespread now. And I mean, everyone's talking about it at least, which is a good start. But I do believe the work that you're doing is really needed right now, especially for busy parents out there who, you know, they need to put food on the table. And so having someone who understands what that's like to help their child learn, I think is amazing. When you were in school, what did people assume about you that perhaps was not true because of your dyslexia and ADHD? Do you remember what people assumed about you that perhaps wasn't true?
I think I masked really well. I think I befriended enough people, and, you know, when they talk about masking, I think I was just all about survival. And so, you know, I made enough friends where it didn't really show. And so I was the C average, like, you know, the average Joe Schmo. That was me. So I was very quiet. I didn't, you know, I wasn't a behavior issue. So no one really knew what I was suffering through. So it's funny you should bring that up. Thank you.
Were there moments where you questioned your own intelligence?
Yes. Going from C student to gifted teacher, that is a long range. And I have a master's too, which really surprised me because I didn't even think I could pass college. I was grateful I got through high school.
Absolutely. And now those struggles became your greatest strength. Why did you decide to dedicate your life to helping other students?
Because they asked me. I had a brownie troop for a while that I dabbled in and helped with. Some other parents asked me to help with because I love Girl Scouts. And anyway, long story short, the kids looked at me one day and asked me if I would, you know, if I was going to finish my college journey, which was my dream to become a teacher. And they were like, why don't you just go back and do it? And I was like, I just got derailed along the way. And they were like, no, you just need to go back and you just need to do it. So I did it. And along the way, I met lots of parents who were struggling. And so even as I was in school, I was tutoring and teaching and parenting and, you know, all the things.
Amazing. I love that. I love that once you start talking about it, other people start talking about it too. And then you realize that, you know, a large number of people are struggling with the same thing. What do you wish every struggling child could hear today?
That you are enough and that you're not smart. You're incredibly intelligent. You just haven't made the neural connections yet in your brain. And that once we make those connections, you'll be able to read as many words as you want to. You'll be able to read small words like did and big words like hippopotamus. And you will think of them as the same after a few months.
Oh, that's so cool. One thing I love about your work is that you never, ever blame children. So you focus on understanding how they learn. So what is actually happening in the brain when a child is struggling to read? And maybe you could let us know how dyslexia and ADHD are different.
So different parts of your brain harbor different, like your image for when you see a word flashes, you know, it appears to flash here, but it's really like in the back. So when we're doing the flashcards, where the first time you hook a word, let's say it's hippopotamus, right? When I flash it to you, you're going to remember a hippo, HIPPO. That's the first thing that's probably going to register you, unless, you know, you're just really ADHD off the chain. And then you might actually see the word pot first, P-O-T. And then there's Amos at the end. And that's usually the hardest part for the kids, is to pick up the hook at the end. But over time, they see it as a whole, like a picture in their brain. Instead of a word, it becomes a picture. And they learn to recall the whole entire thing in its entirety by looking up here in their mind's eye. They can close their eyes and actually see the word, because we are imprinting images as we're flashing the word, and we're teaching their brain to make new neuropathways at the same time. And so we're hitting writing, spelling, reading, imagery, and then recall all at the same time. And then through the practice, like 5 days a week, they go from maybe they get 5 words right, maybe at the beginning, or maybe 2. And then by the end of the week, they usually get all 10 or 12 words correct. So a lot of people ask me, why you keep giving us a spelling test? And I was like, well, it appears to be a spelling test, but it's not. It's much more than that. I'm actually teaching the brain how to read differently and how to take that image and put it into long-term recall. So at the beginning of the week, we have short-term recall. And then by the end of the week, we have long-term recall, and we're mashing those neurons together and making new connections. Like if you're in a train station, you're like connecting new cities up, and the kids start to get it. They start to be able to read like street signs first, and then they see, words on the walls, and they start reading those, and then they start reading books from there.
Oh, that's so cool. That must be really rewarding to see. When they start being able to read, the kids must get really excited.
I love it. It's like a hook every day whenever I see something in my inbox, and then they take a picture of their work and they send it to me. I can usually tell what's going on in their brain as far as, are they getting it? Are they starting to read, whole books now? Are they able to write better? Are the letters coming together more vividly and they're not stirring around anymore? So it's very helpful to do it. And it's funny though, the ones that don't need me very much, they actually quit my class, after 8 weeks. They don't need to go to the second class because their brain already starts picking up on it. And that's a wonderful feeling too, because if they've completed the course in 8 weeks and they no longer need me, that's super awesome too.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Have you ever seen it where a child is not formally diagnosed with dyslexia or ADHD or ADD, but they still have the symptoms for it?
Yeah, we see that all the time. But I think what a lot of parents are afraid of are labels, and rightfully so. It depends on the child whether or not they endure a label well. A lot of parents are feared for them being bullied. They don't want extra attention from teachers and different, entities in the school system or whatever. So they don't want to be singled out. That could be an issue too. So, or they're just masking so well. As children, we would just want to fit in. We don't want to stand out as much. I mean, there are some kids that want to stand out, but it's not the norm. So you don't want to call attention to yourself. You just want to learn, get in, get out. You don't need a label. So we do see kids that are borderline too, and they don't get services, And then we see ones that are kind of on the line, and then we see ones that are, whoa, Nelly, we need to, we need to help them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not big into labels either. Cause it just adds that layer of like putting someone in a box when people are so complex. Like you've mentioned before, someone might not be great at reading, but they have other superpowers, and we all have gifts. So I like that approach for sure. Why, after like all the years that you've been working with children, why do you think traditional approaches to learning to read sometimes fail these students?
Well, phonics is a fantastic thing, and that's a new initiative. Or I say new, but we've been doing it off and on for many years. But there's more than one way to teach a child to read. We used to do whole word. But whole word even isn't effective if we're just, giving it to them one time. That's not going to help them solidify the word in their mind. And a lot of teachers don't have time to circle around and go back over what they've even learned. So you've got to develop a way to do recall. You know, how are they going to remember all of this information? And so with the flashcard read, I'm helping them grab onto it and keep it into longer term memory. As far as your question is concerned, there's nothing wrong with anybody, you know, the way they're teaching anything. We're just moving at the speed of sound and nobody can keep up. You know, classes are getting overcrowded. Teachers are getting overwhelmed. Nobody has a firm solution. So they're just grasping at straws best they can.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're doing the best they can with what they know. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At what point did you realize that there had to be a better way?
Well, I remember I was studying for a large entry exam, and I remember looking at Quizlet. You remember Quizlet when you were in college?
No, I don't actually.
You didn't use Quizlet in college? Oh gosh,
no.
You missed it. So I was using Quizlet, which is a big flashcard phenomena. And you put like if it's chemistry you're trying to learn, on one side of the card, you would put helium. And on the other side, you would tell, you know, its number in the science and what it's for, you know, and it would flash back and forth. Well, I was clicking and I was like, what am I going to do to make this stick? And I just was so frustrated. I just kept on pushing the button over and over again to get that thing to flash back and forth, you know, helium, 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 and then what it was for. So, and I was like, there's got to be a better way. You know, I knew that I had ADHD symptoms. I hadn't been diagnosed until like 4 years ago, by the way, officially. So I was like, there's got to be a better way. So out of my frustration, I started to figure out that there's a number in there. There is an exact number where your brain can actually stick it into short-term memory. And so over the next weeks, I would go into it like 5 days a week and I would just study, you know, in the morning. And then I'd study again those flashcards in the afternoon, until finally I could root the information and do recall. And when I took the test, I got one of the top scores in the class. And then I passed the big test with better than average scores. So I knew something had like totally changed
shifted.
In me.
Yeah. Right.
And shifted. And I remember teaching my child with flashcards as well, but he has a photographic memory. So there was kind of like a learning gap for me as far as understanding how to use those flashcards and then how many times more it would take me in order to like have the information for all time.
Mm, yeah, interesting. For me, the way that I remembered was by writing out everything. So I would like copy stuff from the textbook onto a piece of paper and write it out in words that I understood, which was crazy. I'm left-handed. I just remember having ink all over my hand all the time. But it was like basically just sticking to memory by like visualization and writing out. But I did see a lot of my friends and other students using the flashcards for sure. I would love to hear more about the flash method. So you created what you call the flash method.
Right.
And so how does it work? Tell us a little bit more about the flashcards and why they're so powerful.
Right. So as I was saying before, when you were writing things out on paper in college to remember, you were storing all of that information in a long-term memory. So, and the way that you changed it to make it more understandable to you, you in essence were doing that on a shorter term level because you have a better memory than probably me and a majority of people, believe it or not. So the flash method works in a way that it burns an image into your brain over and over and over again until your attention is totally affixed on the information given. So if I were to flash the word, like I said, hippopotamus or onomatopoeia, you might not be a good speller initially, but over time, as I flashed it, your brain would become intrigued and you'd be like, what's happening right now? And then all of a sudden, there's a switch that happens right about 10 or the 11th mark. And all of a sudden, you can see their eyes and their pupils get a little bit bigger. And the brain says, yep, I got it. And I can almost see it in the child's like face. Because all of a sudden it just switches. They get relaxed and then the information is there and then they can do recall.
Okay. So what have you seen when students begin using this approach consistently?
I've seen them be able to read. I've seen like kids go from absolutely nothing except letter recognition to being able to read a book, you know, with their grandma. I mean, it's earth shattering, crying sort of work. It's amazing. Like, you know, because that means that they're going to be afforded so many more opportunities. They're going to be afforded a better life, usually is what it means. So when a kid is able to level up any which way, I mean, even if they just are able to read a sentence, you know, that's more significant than anything, because it builds on itself and the confidence just starts going through the roof.
Totally. So is that what makes parents emotional when they start seeing results, is the thought of opportunities, like doors opening and their child essentially being able to do more things?
Parents are awesome, but let's be honest. I mean, they're just trying to get food on the table. They're trying to get everybody showered. You know, they're not thinking long term initially, and they're just trying to, you know, get them to that first hurdle. But later on, they say to me, oh my gosh, you know, we're not going to be held back now. We're going to be, you know, on grade level. And I said, well, keep going, you know, with the method. I said, because then you're going to find that they're up a level or two levels or three levels. And I've seen kids get invited to go to like STEM Academy or get invited to clubs and other things that they ordinarily wouldn't get to do because they didn't know how to read. So it's life-changing work. I've been very rewarded by all of the input from my kids along the way. I have, you know, written some of the ones that first started with me to help get the method going. I've written them thank you notes to tell them thank you for, you know, letting me pilot with them. And they thank me, you know, by sharing what they were able to get into and tell me details about how it worked in their brain as it was happening.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing feedback.
Yeah. And the older the child, the harder it is for them to get help, because they feel like they're older, they should already know it. So the younger ones are so much easier to spring back. But I've been wronged in so many ways. I've even had parents come up to me and ask me to help them. And I don't mind doing that as well, because they're just, you know, lost children themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, for sure. So I'd love to make this practical for the audience. If a parent out there is listening right now and they're worried about their child, what are some things you want them to know?
That this is very doable. Like over the summer, we are now in the middle of June. But if you started right now to help them and get on flashcardread.com and go sign up, you could, you know, notice changes that first week. It's very exciting. And the second week's even better, because they start, like I said, being able to write it and read at the same time, which is a big frustration, because usually kids that can't read can't write well either. So hand in hand, you're doing two things at once, and then you're also improving their memory. So it's just a great way to go. I mean, it's never too late. Even if you get to the end of summer and you want to start, it's 10 minutes a day. I mean, you can't go wrong.
How do they help their child build confidence while the skills are developing?
In my class, when they upload their work, I give feedback. Sometimes it's texting to them in the class course. Sometimes I make videos for them, but I tell them how awesome and wonderful they are. I know their parents are doing it too, but sometimes just having that positive feedback from a teacher is a stimulus they need in order to keep going. So it excites me to be able to do that for them. And also I know how it feels to just be going, okay, it's mom again, you know, or whatever. It's good to have an extra person, an extra cheerleader to help these kids out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm just picturing the student in the class that struggles with reading and the whole classroom is taking turns reading paragraphs, which I absolutely hated when I was in school, and how stressful that is. How they're just like, please don't call on me, right? Like, I don't want to read. And how embarrassed they are and how awful that feels. And so reading is so much more than just reading. Like it's about the confidence, self-esteem, and friendships, and, you know, relating to other students. So what a powerful tool to give them is their ability to, you know, tap into that. So yeah, it's so much more than just grades. It's their life.
It's their life.
Absolutely. And I know it's not easy on parents either, because parents often blame themselves, and they think that they're doing something wrong. You know, the parents that read to their kid every night when they're born, you know, They get worried and overwhelmed. So what message do you want to send to the parents out there that are blaming themselves for their children's struggles with learning and reading?
Well, I'd like to bring up an instance. I have a friend who's very, very intelligent. She's got a PhD in mathematics, and she's super brilliant. And so she was just like, yeah, I've got this, you know, middle child that just is having so much trouble reading, and she's not getting good grades, and her confidence is going down. And she was putting it off as far as, you know, helping her because she felt bad. And I said, look, I said, just give me an hour. And then let me go upstairs with her. We'll play around with flashcards. We'll see if we can get her reading. And she was just like, really? I was like, you don't mind doing that? I said, no, I don't mind doing that. So she gave me an hour, and her kid, you know, turned around and started, you know, reading. And, you know, there was frustration. There was, you know, symptoms of ADHD, you know, dyslexia, all of that. But once you get past the first couple of weeks, it's cake. It's just like things start happening. And it's just like working out. I mean, once you start working out, you start reaping some of the benefits. You know, your heart gets better and your brain gets better and all the things get better. And that's kind of the way it is with flashcard reading. Is we start making those neural connections that no one even knew existed. I mean, it's hard for me to describe. I'm not just teaching the kid how to read. I'm teaching the kid how his brain works as far as remembering everything.
Right. Absolutely. So one of my last questions for you is what gives you hope after all these years of helping students?
Gives me hope. Kids are so awesome. They're so residual, and they bounce. So no matter what happens in the world, I'm always grateful to have those awesome connections with not only the kids I teach, but also, I mean, every kid that I ever met. I just met a couple on the beach the other day, and they're just like, what are you doing? You know, I'm like, I'm biking for 10 miles. And they're like, well, why are you doing that? Why are you going so far? You know, it's just their curiosity, their love of life that keeps me going.
Absolutely. I'm the true believer that we should never lose our childlike characteristics. And it's interesting because once we tap back into that, that's when our authenticity comes out. Like we all have that curiosity buried inside of us. So I feel like children can bring that out of us as well, make us remember who we are, because we get so clouded by this crazy world we live in and all these expectations that really don't mean anything. So it's cool to be able to tap back into that. And kids definitely bring that out. So I can see how that would be fun to work with for sure. Kim, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more information about you, the work that you're doing, and the reading program. So if anyone listening, they feel their kid would benefit from learning from you, they can easily find you.
Sure. I have a website called www.flashcardread.com. That's flashcard read all together. And also I am on OutSchool. So if you want to search me up, my name is Kim Parra, P-A-R-R-A. You can search me up that way. But I also will share a QR code with you, and that way I make it easy.
Amazing. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here today and for the work that you're doing. I think it's incredibly important, and what better way to get the word out? So thank you for being vulnerable and for also sharing more of your story and your heart with our audience.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate you.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And thank you so much to our audience for tuning in. This is such an important reminder that struggling to read is not a character flaw. It's not laziness. It's not lack of intelligence. Sometimes it's simply a child whose brain learns differently and needs a different path forward. And there is a different path forward, as we saw today. So when we stop asking what's wrong with this child and start asking how does this child learn best, everything changes. So for those listening, if today's conversation resonated with you and you're looking for support for your child, you can learn more about Kim Parra and her flashcard reading program at Flashcard Read, which will be linked below in the show notes. And you can also follow her on Instagram and connect with her with her community online, which we will also link in the show notes. And again, if you know a parent who is struggling to help their child read, share this episode with them. It might be the encouragement that they've been waiting for. And there's nothing to be ashamed of, you guys. Everyone learns differently. Everyone was brought to this world for the same thing, and that's to live their best life. So let's help everybody do that. Until next time, take care, everyone.
Thank you.